We're going to have our readings now, and Hannah and Paul are going to come and bring our readings to us.
So our first reading is from Exodus 13, starting at verse 17. When the king of Egypt let the people go, God did not take them by the road that goes up the coast to Philistia, although it was the shortest way. God thought, I do not want the people to change their minds and return to Egypt when they see what they are going to have to fight. Instead, he led them in a roundabout way through the desert towards the Red Sea. The Israelites were armed for battle. The Israelites left Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. During the day, the Lord went in front of them in a pillar of cloud to show them the way. And during the night, he went in front of them in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel night and day. The pillar of cloud was always in front of the people during the day, and the pillar of fire at night.
And the second reading today comes from John chapter 8, and verse 12 to 20. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees again. I am the light of the world, he said. Whoever follows me will have the light of life and will never walk in darkness. The Pharisees said to him, Now you are testifying on your own behalf. What you say proves nothing. No, Jesus answered. Even though I do testify on my own behalf, what I say is true, because I know where I came from and where I'm going. You do not know where I came from or where I'm going. You make judgments in a purely human way. I pass judgment on no one. But if I were to do so, my judgment would be true, because I am not alone in this. The Father who sent me is with me. It is written in your law that when two witnesses agree, what they say is true. I testify on my own behalf, and the Father who sent me also testifies on my behalf. Where is your Father? They asked him. You know neither me nor your Father, Jesus answered. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. Jesus said all this as he taught in the temple, in the room where the offering boxes were placed. And no one arrested him because his hour had not come.
Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word to us today. Lord, we pray that you will open our hearts and minds. We pray that you will inspire us, encourage us, strengthen us, and challenge us. We pray that you will soften our hearts so that we will hear what you want to say to us and be ready to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if you know what connects the American politician and inventor Benjamin Franklin, the Coldplay singer Chris Martin, and the game of golf. Any guesses? They are all connected with the changing of our clocks. Did you know it's 100 years this year since we first started changing our clocks to British summertime or daylight saving time and then back again to Greenwich Mean Time? The idea was first thought of by Benjamin Franklin when he was in Paris in 1784. He suggested that if people got up earlier when it was lighter, then it would save on candles. But it was Coldplay singer Chris Martin's great-great-grandfather who brought the idea to the UK. His name was William Willett, and in 1907 he published a leaflet called The Waste of Daylight, encouraging people to get out of bed earlier. Now, apparently, he was a keen golfer, and he got cross when his games got cut short because there wasn't enough light to carry on playing. Maybe some of you golfers here would understand where he's coming from. Willett spent years trying to convince people that it was a good idea to change the clocks. But it actually wasn't until 1916, a year after he died, that it was introduced in the UK. Now that the clocks have gone back, It'll be getting darker even earlier in the day. And so it seems timely that our message this morning tells us that Jesus is the light of the world, and that whoever follows Jesus will have the light of life and will never walk in darkness again. It was also a very timely moment when Jesus made the claim to be the light of the world. The time was the Feast of Tabernacles, also known as the Festival of Shelters, as John had told us earlier in chapter 7. The festival took place in late autumn and often marked the passing of long summer days. During this festival, the people were reminded of how God had led the people of Israel through the desert, as detailed in the book of Exodus. They remembered the tabernacle, that was God's holy dwelling place, and also the shelters that the people themselves lived in during that time when they received the Ten Commandments at Sinai and during the rest of the Exodus experience. Now, light and water were very important to the symbolism of the feast. Light reminded the people of the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that led Israel through the wilderness, as we heard in that reading from Exodus. It was the light of the presence of God, and it reminded the people that God was with them. The Lord told Moses to keep the lamp burning in the tabernacle continuously as a sign of his presence with them. At the end of the Festival of Shelters, or the Feast of Tabernacles, people would gather in the Court of the Women. Now, the Court of the Women was the place where the treasury was, the place where the offering boxes were put. In this court, four large stands each held four golden bowls. They were around 50 feet high, and each of the 16 bowls were filled with oil and lit. We've got to remember there was no public lighting in Jerusalem after dusk, and it's said that when these lamps were lit, the entire city was illumined. And the ceremony continued as choirs sung and men danced with torches in the street. Can you picture that scene? And it was during the Feast of Tabernacles, in that court where those four lamps stood, that Jesus stood and declared, "I am the light of the world." The term light was a familiar one to the people that were listening. Now, of course, it would immediately have taken them back to that Exodus journey. They would have pictured the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, and it would have reminded them of the presence of God. Could Jesus have been saying that as they stood before him, they were actually in the presence of God? In addition, light was used to describe the wisdom of God. Psalm 119 declares, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." More than that, God's saving work in the world was frequently described as light. We heard it at the beginning of our reading in Isaiah 42. And later on in his book, Isaiah proclaimed that the servant of the Lord would be a light to the nations, so that all the world may be saved. And here was Jesus saying he is the light of the world. Just seven words. And in those seven words, Jesus said so much. Was he even suggesting that he was that long-awaited Messiah, the servant of the Lord? Perhaps now we can begin to see why the Pharisees were more than a little bit annoyed with him. If we look at the truth of Jesus' statement, then rather than the fear or the anger that the Pharisees experienced, we can discover today that Jesus brings us hope through his light. He said in verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life and will never walk in darkness again. Here is a wonderful invitation to every one of us. Each one of us may come to him. No one is excluded. No one is left out. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promises made in Isaiah. He's the long-awaited Messiah who brings light, life, justice, freedom, and hope into our world. And each one of us has the opportunity to receive the life in all its fullness that Jesus offers to us. We don't have to look very far to see the darkness that seems at times to consume the world in which we live. But as John said at the beginning of his gospel, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. There may be times when it feels like evil is winning, that injustice prevails. But no matter how it seems, the truth is the darkness cannot extinguish the light of Jesus. Jesus has come to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to announce release to captives, to comfort those who mourn, and to bring justice to the nations. But he is not merely the bearer of these things. He himself is the light and the life. And so when we embrace him by trusting him and by choosing to follow him, then we too acquire these things. It's a wonderful gift that Jesus offers to us all. Jesus brings us hope through his light. But in choosing to accept the gift, then we're also choosing to live in that light. Jesus is the light of the world, but that leads us to the conclusion that to walk in the light is to follow Jesus. Now, this is more than an intellectual acknowledgement that Jesus is the Son of God and the Saviour of the world. It's a commitment to learning to live as he wants us to, aligning our lives so that we live by his truth, allowing him to help us to make his values shine through us, and living in his presence so that we too may bring light into the darkness. Having made his claim to be the light of the world, Jesus is then confronted by the Pharisees, who begin to challenge that claim. Now, the basis for their challenge lies in the Old Testament requirement that claims be corroborated by a supportive witness. Traditionally, the rabbis would also appeal to supportive authorities on a regular basis. And yet here was Jesus acting under his own authority. Jesus challenges their thinking by saying that his words hold authority because of who he is. In other words, he doesn't need another witness to back up his claim because he is the Son of God. But if he did need a witness, then God himself would be his witness. We heard in verse 18, he said, I testify on my own behalf, and the Father who sent me also testifies on my behalf. The Pharisees just could not understand that Jesus really was the Messiah. They couldn't get the fact that he is the Son of God. They claimed to understand the scriptures, and yet spiritually, they themselves were living in darkness. This became even more evident. If you read on in John's Gospel to the next chapter, you'll see that Jesus healed a blind man. And rather than celebrating that, the Pharisees went on to question how this man could have been healed. When Jesus found out what was happening, He went and spoke to the Pharisees. He pointed out that the blind man could now see, but they themselves were spiritually blind. Jesus is not just a good man or a great teacher. He is the Son of God, and his authority brings truth to light. Now, authority is not popular today. In our postmodern culture, authority is often seen as dangerous and not to be trusted. People don't like to be told what to do or how to do it. And as we heard a few weeks ago, they also think that truth is relative. There's no such thing as absolute truth. In other words, you can believe what you want, and if it works for you, then that's fine. But at the end of the day, we can't all be right. Postmodernists would say that I can say I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that's fine. And you could say that he's not, and that's also fine. But clearly, one of us must have it wrong. Believing in Jesus also means recognizing that he has absolute authority. And the Pharisees couldn't accept that. And many people today can't accept it either. But before we write off the Pharisees for not recognizing Jesus for who he really is, or accepting his authority, there are times when I think we also need to stop and check ourselves and examine our own way of life. Like the Pharisees, it can be very easy to sometimes miss the point of what Jesus really said. We like the nice bits of the gospel, the bits that make us feel loved and special. But those challenging bits about compassion and justice and loving those people who aren't like us and forgiving people who've really hurt us. Don't we sometimes want to miss those bits out, to gloss over them and pretend they don't exist and ignore that they are also the truth of the gospel? As followers of Jesus, we need to stay close to him, closer to him than we are our traditions and our rituals and what makes us feel comfortable in our faith. Close enough to be ready to receive his life of freedom. Close enough to also be challenged to live for him in every situation. Jesus is the light of the world, and he invites each one of us to live in his light. And in his presence, he also turns darkness into light. As the pillar of cloud led the people by the day and the pillar of fire led the people at night, so Jesus wants to lead us through our darkness. We don't have the cloud or the fire as a reminder of God's presence, but by his Spirit, he is with us. And he does want to guide us and lead us and help us. On a day like today, when we give thanks for the loved ones that are no longer with us, we all know something of that feeling of walking in the darkness. We can feel lost. We can feel helpless. We can feel alone. We can feel afraid. But we don't have to walk through the darkness alone. If we let him, Jesus will guide us through and will turn our darkness into light. Now, I don't know how you are in the dark, but I have real difficulty seeing in the dark. Most people I know in a dark place will just take a few moments to let their eyes adjust. Then they can gradually make out shapes, and then eventually they can take a few steps and see well enough to walk. My eyes never seem to adjust. Everyone else is walking around me. Everyone else says they can see me. I can't see a thing. Maybe I should eat more carrots. I don't know. But my eyes just don't seem to adjust. Now, when we're in darkness, the presence of Jesus doesn't automatically shine a spotlight on us and take away all the pain and fear. Sometimes being with Jesus is like when your eyes have started to adjust and you can see enough to walk the first few steps. And eventually, as you walk further and further, the darkness begins to fade. Other times, it's a bit like having my eyes in the dark. You still can't see a thing, but the presence of Jesus will take you by the hand and lead you through, even though you cannot see where you're going. But you have to trust him to lead you forward. And eventually, he will lead you into the light. This morning, I want to encourage you to hold on to the truth that Jesus is the light of the world. In his light, we do find hope. In his light, we discover what truth really is. And at those times when we feel that we are in absolute darkness, he will lead us through if we let him, until our darkness turns to light. Let's take a moment of silence as God continues to speak to us, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning that you are the light of the world, and that light can never be extinguished. The darkness can never put it out. Lord, thank you for the hope and the new life, the forgiveness and the freedom that you offer to each one of us. Lord, I pray for those of us here this morning that are really struggling to come to terms with who you are. Lord, we want to believe, but we need courage to step forward in faith. Lord, please take us by the hand and give us the strength we need to trust in you, to believe in you, and to choose to follow you. And Lord, I pray for each of us this morning who feel like we are in that place of darkness. Lord, I pray that your light will shine into our darkness, that we will be able to trust you for the way forward. And however long it takes, that you will lead us through into your light. In Jesus' name, amen.